Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of the Price Point Podcast. My name is Luke Price. We are bringing this to you from NNL Studios in Fort Collins, Colorado. This is a sports and entertainment podcast with a main focus on the business side of things. We will talk baseball, we'll talk basketball, we'll talk football, hockey, even some pro wrestling. Yes, pro wrestling. It's probably my favorite sport. We're going to dive into things as we are in WrestleMania season a week from Sunday. It's like Christmas for a wrestling fan. We will have many special guests along the way. There will be some surprises in there. We have a good one for you today as it is baseball season. We have Texas Rangers bench coach Don Wakamatsu on the line. Don, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
Good to hear. Good to hear. I have a couple questions for you. We're going to go through here. First thing that I thought of was spring training's coming to a close, and we're right outside of opening day here coming up. How's spring training? How's camp? Are you guys still in a split squad? What's going on with the Texas Rangers this spring?
It's been an interesting spring, but we're still able to get our work in.
Tell us about camp. Tell us about spring training. How are things going so far? I know you've dealt with a lot of rain here in the last few days, especially.
Yeah, well, two nights in a row we had the night games and about the fifth inning, both games we had it wasn't raining that hard, but this time of year you don't want to get anybody hurt out there, so we were fortunate to get some work in.
Yeah, we were watching the game the other night, Rangers Diamondbacks. And it was, I believe, the fifth inning, and then all the rain in the world came down on you guys, it seemed like, at least on TV. When Torrey Lobello came out of the dugout on the D-back side, I can't imagine you were too bummed about him coming out there. I knew exactly what he was doing when he stepped out there. So he was coming out to get Greinke, of course, in the rain, where he could kind of keep him healthy as we get into the regular season here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no, Torrey, same thing. I don't want to get anybody hurt out there, but he's awfully, obviously, he's one of the best pitchers in the game and a tremendous pitch maker.
So, Don, yeah, tell us a little bit about your playing career and growing up and learning the game as you got older and playing it as in your youth and then college and then in the pros, and then kind of touch on your coaching career. You've been pretty successful so far, and were even the interim manager last year after Bannister had got fired. So tell us a little bit about that. Touch on a couple fine points, a couple from your playing days, and a couple so far in your coaching career.
Well, I think the playing career is a little bit more like emulates Crash Davis. I played for seven different organizations. As mostly a minor league player, I was fortunate to get some time up with the Chicago White Sox and the big leagues. But I think that led mostly to my career as a coach, meaning that being able to be with seven different organizations as a minor league player, being able to see and be around a lot of different managers, coaches, and players, and just led to the experience and maybe the want to of becoming a coach. And I think the one thing about getting to the big leagues, even though it was limited time, I think that's something that I've always cherished because I said, you played it. I was able to play at every level. And again, that helps a little bit when you go into professional coaching, to at least say that you know what it's like and how difficult it is, and you have the empathy to deal with how hard it is to play in the big leagues. And that's helped me in my coaching career. Coaching career-wise, started out with the Diamondbacks and during the expansion, and then now either as a player or coach, I've been with 15 different major league organizations. And again, I've been real fortunate to be around the Joe Maddens, the Mike Sochas, the Bob Guerins, the John Farrells, and I didn't realize it until I came back here this last stint with the Rangers that I've been the bench coach or part of the staff over the last four different managers here with the Rangers. So, again, it gives you a broad or a diverse background in different styles of coaching and managing.
Yeah, so you named Mike Socha as one of those guys that was a mentor to you. So if you could tell me a few names just of some guys along the way, whether it's growing up or when you got drafted and you played in the minor leagues and up the system into the bigs, And even now coaching, who would be a few names that kind of shaped you and molded you into the person and the coach that you are today?
I think I learned a lot from a lot of different guys. I think first and foremost, probably Mel Didier. Mel mm-hmm. Didier, former Major League Scout, and helped start three different franchises. And just this man passed away last year. But he was a big influence in my career, a lot on the detail work. He had a background way back with Bear Bryant in football, so oh, he wow. brought that into baseball. And so just that kind of mentality, the winning mentality, but also the detail mentality. And then starting my Major League coaching career with Buck Showalter was pretty special. I don't know of a more brilliant mind in the game. And somebody gave me my first opportunity. But since then, just to be able to be around the Mike Sochas and even Buddy Black and Bill yep. Madden and a lot of the guys that are managing now. And so it's been accumulation of a little bit of everything.
So let's talk a little bit about Don Wakamatsu, the man, not necessarily the coach, and kind of tell us a little bit about your family, where you grew up, favorite Major League ballpark, and if you can name it, your favorite MLB city. While we're at it, just touch on a couple things outside the dugout, off the field a little bit. Who is Don Wakamatsu?
Yeah, I think I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was real fortunate to be in winning programs most of my career. In high school, I played with Jack Del Rio, who was mm-hmm. Former head football coach of the Jaguars and the yep. Raiders. And Jackie and I played all three sports together, and we were fortunate there. And I played for a summer team in the San Francisco Bay Area that was awfully special. I had a long 50-year career history of Major League players. I played with Randy Johnson and Dale Swain and Doug Henry, and even back before I played on that program, Chris Spire and Joe Morgan. Uh-huh. So it was a kind of a storied franchise. We used to play 100 games a summer, so wow. you get indoctrinated at a young age to play that many games during the summer, and with that caliber of talent, kind of molds you and makes an impression on your career. And then I was fortunate to get a scholarship at Arizona State, and then play with Barry Bonds and Oda B. McDowell, and some great ones there. And
wow.
I was fortunate to play in the College World Series at that time. So, it's I've been exposed to a lot of baseball, especially early on, that probably molded me to take this path in professional baseball.
Yeah, you mentioned Barry Bonds. He is probably one of my all-time favorite players, but the Barry Bonds that people are thinking about right now, not the same Barry Bonds back in the Arizona State and Pittsburgh Pirates days when he was about 100 pounds soaking wet. But that aside, he is definitely one of my favorite players, and not many people out there can do what he did. Maybe Ken Griffey Jr., but the list is pretty short.
Yeah, it's neat to watch all the guys you kind of grow up with, whether it was Randy Johnson, catching him in high school and see him be a Hall of Famer, and Barry in college and see him be a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
So, again, that leads to a lot of experience when you're coaching. So you
absolutely.
Compare young players out of the draft and say, that guy reminds me of this guy.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty interesting to see players nowadays in comparison to guys that you played with.
And I'm sure listeners want to know, and I want to know, and everybody here would like to hear what your answer is for these next couple, especially. Obviously, the Rangers have a new ballpark coming in 2020, a beautiful new stadium. I think Globe Life, I think they're keeping the name for that, if I'm not mistaken. But beautiful stadium coming there in Arlington. What are some others, whether it's Fenway, maybe a Wrigley Field where you guys don't get to play that often, so maybe that means something special to you. But what are your favorite? What's your absolute favorite ballpark, and maybe a couple others that you never mind going on road trips to play?
I was born up in Hood River, Oregon. So
okay.
Northwest I was always more partial to the Northwest, and I think you'll talk to a lot of Major League players and say Seattle's one of the greatest cities in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, not so much the winter, but great ballpark, great city. St. Louis is a great ballpark,
mm-hmm.
great fan base. And then, going into Boston and some of the nostalgia being in an old ballpark, one of the last old, true old ballparks. I haven't spent a lot of time in Wrigley, a couple times. I think that's always neat to be able to go into Boston. The fans are right on top of you.
Yep.
Sold out crowd every night. There's a lot of new ones. I'm really looking forward to next year. The new ballpark. It's obviously a billion-dollar stadium. It's kind of going to be state-of-the-art. It's going to be neat to open that. It'll be my eighth year with the Rangers. It's kind of special to be able to kind of, hopefully we're in a position now where we're starting to build the franchise the way we want it. We've got a lot of our young players that are really starting to bud right now. So it's some exciting time for us with the Rangers.
Yeah, I grew up going to the ballpark in Arlington or whatever it's called now, and remember sitting there in day games, especially in July, August, where it felt like it had to have been 180 degrees off the seats from the sun beating down on them. And I always wondered, even as a kid, how in the world somebody who built that stadium in Texas for a sport that plays through the summer didn't make a stadium with a retractable roof, but that'll always kind of confuse me. And but the new stadium plans and the developments that have happened look pretty special, and I can't wait to catch a game there. Obviously don't live in Texas, but would love to make it out there to catch the new stadium. So a lot of cool things happening with you guys there, and excited for you. A lot of us here know the answer to this question before we ask it, but I want to ask you your most feared hitter in the American League West, a guy that has maybe you kind of shaking in your boots or pulling your hair out as you see him step into the on-deck circle. Again, we probably have a good guess of who that is, but tell us, who's that guy for you?
Yeah, you pretty much know that answer. Mike Trout, obviously, for me, is just – I was fortunate to play a little bit with Bo Jackson, and the skill set and the strength and just the presence of a player of that category. And he gets better every year.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you see these guys signing now with the big contracts, and Mike Trout hasn't even, hasn't come available again for his second term, I guess you would call it, but just a tremendous, and I look at players like that both on and off the field, and I think he's been as professional and sound as a player as there is in the modern day. So
that's great.
He's an amazing player to watch both defensively and offensively.
Yeah, I think Mike Trout is so much more popular, not just how he plays the game and just puts up those MVP type numbers year after year, and he's still so young, but just the way he carries himself off the field and how he handles the media and the press and his fans. And my sister, we've been blessed and fortunate enough to have been working around the game of baseball. My sister had worked for a couple major league players, and I won't mention names, but she was at the All-Star game a few years ago and accidentally photobombed Mike Trout and his fiance's picture, and it's on his Instagram, and she just looks like a deer in headlights, kind of lost because she knows the picture's being taken. But everything I've heard from her and players that I've known and players that have met him have said he's probably the nicest guy in Major League Baseball, and again, just that's what makes him so much more respectable than already he is as a player, and that's just, it's sad to say, not necessarily something that's common around the league anymore.
Yeah, you always look at guys, how they interact with fans and how much time they take. He's one of those guys that always goes out of his way to sign autographs.
That's awesome.
And there's another one that I really like in the American League, which is Francisco Lindor.
Uh-huh.
For young kids listening, to me, it's the special thing that those guys possess is they enjoy playing the game, and they extrude that on and off the field. You watch Francisco Lindor before a game starts, and he's over high-fiving the bat boys.
Yep.
He's always got a smile on his field and on his face, and it's tough, and especially in our game where everything means so much, to be able to play that loose and still enjoy the game and not worry about failure.
Absolutely.
Both are two guys that kind of extrude that.
Yeah, so Francisco Lindor and really Mike Trout as well, they play the game of baseball like they're 12 years old. And again, it's just sad that not many guys play that way anymore. Even 20 years ago, everybody on the diamond looked like they had fun like a 12-year-old kid. And I'm just glad to see Francisco Lindor and Mike Trout play in that kind of baseball still. So I want to talk a lot about Walkway, about the foundation. Obviously, some of us guys know around the office what it is. I've been talking about it quite often and really excited about it. We're just blessed and lucky and thankful that we can be a small part of what you do. So if you can just kind of dive into Walkway, what it is exactly, when did it start? Just give us some of those points. Give the listeners an idea of what it is and what it was created for.
No, absolutely. We started Walkway about 3 years ago, and it was really something that I wanted to do for a number of years, and finally was able to do it. And the biggest thing, I've been real fortunate, as I mentioned, to be in Major League Baseball for over 30. This will be my 34th year. You get to a point where you go, you know, I think there's a little bit more to it, and I guess the idea came to me that I want to try to get younger players that are coming up in the game, the rookie players, and to be able to have an impact. And from a coaching standpoint, you always want to make a better player, but you figure out that if you make a better person, that player becomes better too. And so we started recruiting young players in the major level to go out in their community and do more. And so we were able to do some events for the last couple of years in different cities with different players. And now we're focusing a lot here in the Dallas area with some younger players. And the other day we had one of our events where we ran four so far. We're going to run seven through spring training every Saturday. And last weekend we did one at Luke Air Force Base where we gave away 44,000 pounds of fruits and vegetables to the families on Luke Air Force Base. Wow. And that was special because it was the military and giving back and mm-hmm. paying respects. And we were able to bring out six different prospects that we have in our minor league system to go out there for the first time and kind of hand out and carry the fruits and vegetables to the cars for the families on the military. But our big thing is try to make an impact in the community that these players are playing in. We've dealt with different players with different organizations, but now we're focusing a lot on the Rangers and reaching out where we can to kind of get back to people that need it the most. We've been focusing on nutrition and healthy eating. We've done a lot with the RBI and youth academies and RBI for Major League Baseball. I don't know how many people know they have 9 brick and mortars across the country, started in Compton, servicing about 260,000 kids, and we're pretty much the official sponsor for nutritional products that go back in there during the summertime when they don't have help. We've been able to give away some breakfast options. We've been partnering with some great partners in Kind Bar and Mama Chia and Safeway Albertsons helped us, and then Jamara is a big food distributor out of southern Arizona that's been able to help us get some of these products. But we're trying to grow so we can do something nationwide, almost in any market that a major league team's in. But the gist of it is really just trying to say that we're fortunate and we have a platform to help people and more importantly, get younger players to learn how to start to give back.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. And I can tell you and the listeners here today that when I first heard about Walkway and the gentleman that I spoke with who kind of told me about it, just to hear the excitement in his voice, he couldn't get me on the phone quick enough when he told me there was another opportunity for us to help in some way. And when I had that conversation with him, just the passion that he had. And then talking to you guys, just hearing it from your own voice here, talking about Walkway and you having the time as a major league bench coach to have the time to continue to do this and having the passion to do it is something special. And I hats off to you and your team and the foundation. This is pretty awesome to be a tiny bit part of what you guys do, and we definitely appreciate you guys. So I might have asked this. I'm not sure that I did, but can you just tell us real quick, you know, when did it start, what year and everything, and how has it grown over the past, you know, however long it was and when you started this?
Well, like I said, I've been thinking about it for a number of years, and finally just you start realizing that I call it shelf life. You have only so many years at the major league level, and I want to make sure that there's I leave a little bit of a footprint, and that's why we started Walkway, to try to get this next group, this next legacy of younger players at the major league level, but also, you know, I think it's important for these guys to understand that, you know, they're real fortunate to be able to play the game of baseball, that there's kids and families that need a lot, and I think it's important as a player to learn how to give back, to have that humility and respect of both the game and then of people in need. So we started the food initiative literally about a year ago. My family background's farming up in Oregon, and you know, I see a lot of waste that happens on the farm just because of the way the system's set up. We've been fortunate to partner with Jamar down in southern Arizona, where there's a massive waste problem down there, and we've been able to recapture a lot of that, and we continue to try to recapture that in the products that we can give into the inner city, which is always an issue because of the logistics of transporting fruits and vegetables or any kind of sustainable food into the inner city. So we're looking at innovative ways to try to get products that will have a shelf life but also be nutritious for these young athletes and young families that need it the most.
Man, that's so awesome to hear, and I can't tell you again how much we respect what you do. You've turned a lot of us into Ranger fans, at least for as long as you're there, such an awesome thing you guys do. And before we let you go, I just wanted to find out from you, are there any other organizations or charities or anything like that you want to mention? We want to help in whatever way, whether that's getting word out or, you know, kind of promoting whoever it is that you think should be promoted. So whatever we can do. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have anybody in mind?
No, we're working with a lot of charities across the country, trying to build relationships with Fiber out of New York and the Wahlberg Foundation out of Boston. But the big thing is just, you know, we need help. And so if anybody wants to go to our website, which is walkway.org, WAKWAY.org, they can donate to help us and you know, help us be able to give back to the communities and kids in need. And so, I think that's probably the biggest thing that if people listening to the podcast is, you know, that we always could use help. And if they want to go to our website, we'd love to have them.
That's awesome. And again, if you think of anything that we can do to help promote them, and promote Walkway even more, please let us know. Before we let you go, one final question. We're almost out of here. I wanted to ask you, what can we expect? What can listeners expect? And what can the baseball world expect from the 2019 Texas Rangers?
Well, I think we're going to be a lot better than people give us credit for. We got a starting rotation that I think so far in spring training has shown us that they're going to be healthy and be able to impact us. And we got a lot of young, exciting players that are a year older from their either rookie season or our initial big league career that are starting to mature and get physical. So I like our odds, and I think we'll be a team to watch.
Walk, we can't thank you enough for being on here. I know things are busy with opening day just a couple weeks away, and you know, just for you to take time out of your day and out of your busy schedule, we can't tell you enough how much we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck this season, and let's stay in touch after the season.
Appreciate you guys having me on, and love the time.
Talk to you soon. Thank
okay.
you.
Bye.
And that again was Don Wakamatsu, bench coach of the Texas Rangers, and like we told him, we can't thank him enough for his time. It was great talking to him. I've had the luxury and privilege of talking to him a couple times leading up to this interview, and just a really classy and good man. And definitely, Don, again, we appreciate your time. So one thing that we did touch on a little bit in that interview was that rain-shortened game when Zach Greinke was out there just dealing and mowing hitters down for the Diamondbacks. And we touched on the umpires and managers getting together at the plate and calling it at that point. You don't want to risk injury no matter how good a pitcher's throwing. That was really the deciding factor, was just not just Greinke on the mound, but anybody on the field. I mean, that field was getting pounded with rain. And being in the baseball tournament and sports tournament industry, there are a lot of things that we see and a lot of things that I've seen firsthand that that I'm glad that he touched on that and that we touched on that a little bit, just because you just have to protect athletes. And one of the biggest things that we see here is the pitch, is the kids pitching and the pitch counts and pitch limits, and whether it's do we limit them at a pitch count? Do we limit it at a pitch inning through a tournament? And that's a debate that may go on for as long as we live. But it's just, we're in a business where we see these coaches a lot of times, they coach to win now, and they don't necessarily coach and manage a game, for the development and the betterment of the player's long-term career. And it's just sad to see. We unfortunately see it all the time here. And I just think that we have to somehow get to these coaches, and it's not all of them. There are some coaches and managers that do it the right way, who don't really, obviously they care to win, but they don't, that's not why they coach. It's to get the kids at the next level and to get the kids ready, to play as long as they want to. And that's certainly why I coached. And, a lot of the guys in this building are the same way. And it's just, again, just sad to see that guys are just wanting their teams to win. And also, there's kids that play with us that play in the same weekend with other tournament providers, and their coaches don't even communicate. Like, this kid could have just thrown 100 pitches earlier that day, and these coaches that are coaching for this tournament don't even know that. And so a lot of this falls on the parents as well. Wanting their kid to be out there and just saying, hey, look at what Johnny did. He threw twice in a day, 100 pitches each, and gave up, six hits total with two earned runs. It's just a sad business. And a lot of times when you see that stuff happen. So, again, that conversation real quick about Zach Greinke and protecting the players, they're even worried about that at the major league level. And so kids certainly in the youth age group should definitely be protected as well. We're kind of, I say we, I'm going to speak for myself here. I'm an event coordinator with a sports marketing company that basically runs events all across the country, mainly in youth. And my field is East Coast baseball. And it's hard to really straddle that line between wanting to be a really good event director and event coordinator, but also I work for a company who is a for-profit company, and we want to run the best tournaments that we possibly can. And I love that. I love my career. I love my job. Everything about it I love. But it's tough because as a former pitcher, I pitched through college, had some arm issues in high school and in college. And so I think that this subject, this issue is so close to my heart because I've been through it, and I don't wish that on anybody. I didn't ever had Tommy John or anything like that, but there was, obviously a ton of pain, a ton of starts I didn't get to appear in, and I got scratched from, and it was all for being overused, really. And so this is the reason why this topic fires me up, and I'm trying to stay calm here, but it is one that it is an epidemic, and we've got to figure out a way to better communicate with these coaches and with these parents, and telling them how important it is, even if the players never play past their 11U or 12U season, how important it is to protect an arm. And there's days I roll around in bed because it hurts, and I haven't thrown a baseball really, and I may throw once a couple weeks, and still have that arm pain, and I'm a 30-year-old man now, so it's an epidemic. It really is. We're gonna call it what it is, and I think this is an issue that really needs to be examined, really needs to be talked about. There's a lot of different providers out there that have a lot of different opinions upon it, and it's I'm very, very glad that we have all these providers and all these tournaments and leagues that really limit pitching, but there's no perfect way to do it, and it's just we've got to do a better job as parents, we've got to do better job as coaches, we've got to do better job as just the typical baseball fan of communicating and not overusing these kids' arms, because again, that lack of communication, a kid could have thrown 100 pitches in a game, even in a bullpen or in the backyard with a tennis ball, throwing with his buddies in the backyard. You just never know, and so it's on the coaches, it's on the parents, it's on the players to communicate that, and we've got to take care better of these kids' arms these days. And I mean, looking at it at all angles, I mean, as a coach wanting to win, and that's definitely something that we understand as tournament provider and as a tournament director, you understand that we're all competitive in the sports world, and we want to win, and we see parents and hear parents not necessarily complain, but voice their concern over, hey, we spent X amount of dollars to send little Bobby to this tournament. So who are you to, limit his pitching? If we think he can throw, he can throw. But I'll tell you that we're an office full of ex-athletes who played at a very, very high level and who knows how important it is to protect the arms and the bodies of these kids. And it's not even baseball. I mean, it can be in hockey, it can be in football, it can be in basketball. And you've got burnout, by the way, is something that we've got to talk about. And that's a whole episode in itself. And eventually we'll get into that. And this isn't even about burnout. This is just strictly about the physical health of these athletes, and arm care in particular, since we are talking baseball today. Again, I mean, we do see it as a parent's point of view, but there are a lot of us, not just in our company here, but a lot of tournament providers across the country, across the world, who have played at the highest point they could possibly play at, who know the importance and understand the importance of protecting these kids' bodies and their arms for the betterment of their career. I promise you, and this is a whole other podcast. Again, it's a whole other episode. We hear this all the time from coaches, from parents, is we want him to be seen. We want him to be seen. We want him to be shown on Facebook and on Twitter, and his name should be out there. Parents thinking these kids at 10 years old are getting looked at by colleges, and it's just absolute, it's ludicrous, really. And what I would tell the parents, and this isn't a cocky thing at all, but your kid, if he plays high school baseball, will be seen with the avenues, with everything social media wise, and there will be lots of exposure for your son, for your daughter, on the baseball field or the basketball court or the ice or whatever, especially now with all these avenues, like I said, with the Twitter and with Facebook and everything else. Instagram is one. There are a lot of avenues for your player, your athlete, your son, your daughter to be seen. And think about this. If you're going out there and there is somebody out there to watch your player, wouldn't you rather have that kid rested and ready to go and amped up? Because if you do throw, and I'm trying to tread lightly here, especially because we just talked about burnout being a future topic that we may discuss, is you're going to want your player, your son, your daughter, whoever it is, out there well-rested, mentally well-rested, physically, and it is incredibly sad nowadays to see that there are very, very few who are like that. And that, again, it is an epidemic. We see it all the time. We've just got to get better at taking care of these kids. That's just one of the top many topics that we'll be talking about as this podcast continues to mature and grow. And, you know, we didn't want this to be just another, oh, look who we have on the air kind of podcast, which a lot of them out there are kind of like that. We wanted to be a little bit different. I felt like the conversation with Don Wakamatsu and then this segment on arm care and physical health care and everything was a good place to start, and it all kind of meshed together. And I just want to kind of give you a preview of what's to come. Even on the next episode, I did mention WrestleMania is coming up. We will be previewing and predicting WrestleMania 35 live from East Rutherford, New Jersey, on Sunday, April 7th. We will get our predictions out there. We'll get our thoughts out there. We're amped up. We truly, really are. There's a lot of stuff, especially going on again with contracts and sports, and Rob Gronkowski, aka Gronk, retiring, and the rumors of him joining the WWE. We'll dive into that a little bit and talk about the contracts for Brock Lesnar, who is a multi-sport athlete, and Ronda Rousey, who came over from the UFC to the WWE, her contract, and we'll take a look at the NFL draft and the contracts that will be coming from that. But again, we thank you for listening. We really appreciate the time. We really appreciate Don Wakamatsu's time. Certainly good luck to the Texas Rangers. Not a Ranger fan, but I am now, as long as he's coaching them. I wish them nothing but the best out in the AL West. Go Fighting Phillies. Going to be a good season. Can't wait. Bryce Harper, we love you. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Price Point.